Remember now thy creator is the title of our watch night message. This watch night message is about life, how we ought to live profitably, usefully, before life loses its strength and we sit in regret of a wasted life. The text that we want to consider for tonight is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Words of profound wisdom that God wants us to consider as we close the year, as we look forward to a new year. What should be our perspective in life, for life? How ought we to live our lives? Three thoughts. The reality, verse 1c. The reasoning, verse 1b. The resolve, verse 1a. The first thought, the reality, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon is speaking at the close of his life. He is the writer of this book, and it is in his evening years that he writes these words in reflection of life. And a man's last words are important because he has a message to give. He has something that he wants to bring to us concerning life. And it is his personal testimony. King Solomon is a very special man. He lived during the time of the golden age of Israel. Israel was at its greatest height, never before in Israel's history. And he had the opportunity to look at life. And after he has lived life, he has a message for all of us. He wants to tell us something about life. He tells us the futility of worldly ambitions and desires apart from God. Our Lord Jesus says, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall it profit a man to give in exchange for his soul? He wants us to think about gain and loss, about the things that we do that we count as profitable work in our lives. What is profitable to you? And he wants to give to us a perspective of true profit so that we would not live like him, a wasted life. You know, when time is past, you cannot wind the clock back. It is forever gone. There is no looking back, or you can only look back either in praise or in regret. And so he tells us that we are to consider about life. The word Ecclesiastes means preacher, one who had gathered wisdom to speak about life. And indeed, he was a most suitable person to speak about life because he has tasted life. He has all the resources that any man to hopes to garner at his disposal. He was king in Israel during the golden age of Israel. And he had the opportunity to taste life. And so if you want to think about life, how to live this life to the fullest, well, he has done so. And he has a message for us. He tells us concerning this life, and he used these words, which he repeats time and again throughout this book. He says, "Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" You know, from the moment you wake up in the morning till the time you would take, you know, your last or use your last ounce of energy to do whatever the Lord has laid upon your hands to do. He's telling us that there is a kind of labor that is quite empty, that is quite futile, that he felt would be regrettable kind of life. And he calls this labor under the sun. And he tells us that such a life is vanity. Such a life is not profitable. The word vanity means vapor or breath. We all know. You look at the morning dew. Right? Early in the morning, you see the dew. When the sun starts coming up, you see that the dew suddenly disappears. And he tells us that life is like that. One moment, life is there. And next moment, life is gone. And he has a message to tell us. He wants us to know that this world's ambitions, desires, and pursuits gives no real satisfaction to the soul. He says that when we breathe our last breath, that is it. We leave behind all the fruit of our labor. We cannot bring with us. And he wants us to think and consider what is profitable labor. He wants us to see a value system that is very different from this world's value system, which the world would go headlong to live. And he tells us that it is not profitable. And he wants to bring us a wisdom that comes from heaven, a different kind of value system. He tells us that this is a profitable value system versus the value system that we all know of, that the world teaches us. He's telling us a concept, something that he wants us to learn. And if there's anything that you may bring home tonight, it is this. Anything that is of real value must be eternal. Anything that is of real value must be eternal. What is of value must be able to last. And so he wants us to think, consider our value system. He tells us that the world's value system, the truth is this, that this worldly life and its pursuits is like a vapor, like the morning dew. It evaporates in no time when the sun is up. when this life is over. This he described as life under the sun. We live in an age where the common people live like kings. With the advancement of technology, in air travel, in communications, and industrialization, we have a quality of life, or we can have a quality of life that perhaps only kings in the past will experience. And with the rise of China and Asia in the next, if the Lord tarries, in the next decades to come, we will perhaps see countless opportunities for career advancement in every field like never before. The world we live in has become a global village, and Christians are confronted with this world's value system daily. How do we respond to these? The words of Solomon, his warning, rings louder today than ever before. He directs us to search, to find the true meaning and satisfaction in life. Solomon's indulgences. You know, as king, he can live, he has the resources to live however he would like. He gave himself, he described in the beginning of this book, to pleasure. You talk about pleasure. Well, he's the king. And the enjoyment of pleasure, he had all of it. Nothing could be withheld from him because he was an absolute monarch. All power is at his disposal. All wealth is at his disposal. He has enjoyed pleasure. If you speak about pleasure, modern day pleasure, well, he has enjoyed it all in those ancient days. Laughter, wine, entertainment, the first few chapters of the book describe what he did. Planting vineyards, gardens, orchards, building projects. He had the opportunity to amass great possessions of silver and gold. And he said that nothing was kept from him. Anything that his heart desires, he would have it. And the sad thing is this, that at the end of all, he says that it gives him no real satisfaction. And so he wants to convey to us a message about life. What we do with life. And Solomon's conclusion of life under the sun, he says, please see carefully with your mind's eye, from what I have experienced, I have shared with you as a personal testimony. I want you to see the futility of pursuing this world's pleasure and accomplishments. He says, they do not satisfy. This was his conclusion concerning life. He paints for us the reality of the end of a man's life. He becomes weak. His teeth are few. Eating becomes a burden. He tells us, you know, you have many ambitions and you do all these things. You do this and you do that. And then when you reach the end of your life, he says you become weak. Your teeth become few. Eating becomes a burden. You think of the older folks, you would see it. And how he described it so well. You know, as I was going through the verses, realized that, wow, he really observed man's life. He says, the eyes grow dim. The eyes slowly loses its strength. He needs a cataract operation. And soon he needs a magnifying glass. His hands and feet grow weak and they tremble like the Parkinson's disease. And then the old person suffers from insomnia. Have you heard your elderly folks said to you, I cannot sleep. By 4 in the morning, I'm up. I don't know why, but I'm up. And I'm tired, but I can't sleep. Then the voice starts to crack and become unsteady. Singing a song becomes more difficult. More difficult to catch a breath. And he tells us that this is the progression of life. You will reach that stage. Then they develop this thing called acrophobia. That is, that they are afraid of heights. Whether ladders, whether looking from a tall building, or taking plane rides. You know, some of our folks would say, I cannot plan for my holidays. I don't know what is to be in 2 months' time, 3 months' time. And traveling seemed to be such a strain for me. And they see terrors just in the normal routines of life. They lose self-confidence. They are afraid to go out alone. They are afraid to go out at night. Have you heard that? Some of the folks would say, going out at night is so tough. I cannot see clearly. Don't dare to drive anymore. Then our text also tells us in verse 5, the blossoming almond tree, speaking about white hair. You know, black hair becomes white hair. And, you know, before you know it, they start to fall to the ground. From black hair to white hair to no hair. And he says, this is life. The grasshopper is a burden, he writes. He says, even the lightest objects are too heavy for the old person to carry. Isn't it so true? Your limbs become weak. Your hands become weak. Then desires fail, in a sense that natural appetites diminish and cease altogether. Food no longer has flavor or zest. And the basic functions of life starts to fizzle out. The degenerative process takes over because, he says, man is going to his long-lasting home of death. And the grave. And soon, his funeral possession will be moving down the street. And so he's painting to us the reality of life. And he tells us that we are to think and consider carefully what we want to do with our life, how we want to live our lives. All of us have that 24 hours, 365 and a quarter day. Days, a year. How are we to use our time? How are we to live our lives? He tells us that we are to think concerning the end of life. He says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for it is there that we see the end of all men, and that the living lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. He tells us that be careful about the partying lifestyle. When you have awakened from the hangover, then reality starts to come in. And he tells us that there is a reality of life to consider. And he wants us not to be hoodwinked, not to be lost in the value system, the wisdom of living this world. And so this is the first thought that he wants us to think about. The reality. Oh, this is the reality of life. Right? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. He tells us of the brevity of life. He tells us that life is not that long. He wants us to think about life as the minutes tick, as the hours go by, as the days go by. He wants us to think concerning how we are to live this life. All must die. None can escape. 10 out of 10. Then he leads us from the reality to the reasoning. He says that while you have time, while time is on your side, while you still have life, while the evil days come not, that's the second part of verse 1, nor the years draw nigh. He tells us that there is a life that he would want us to live. And he is giving an advice as a wise man. What is this advice? Well, he says, remember the Creator. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. He's speaking about the end of life. Well, things become broken and, you know, never repaired again. There is a one direction that we all go in life. And he tells us of a reality that he wants us to see. He's reasoning with us. He says, the wise man and the fool cannot escape death. And he asks this question, any difference if you are wise or you are a fool? He says, whether you are wise or whether you are a fool, you would die anyway. So he asks that question, how then ought we to live our life? Right? He tells us that there is an ultimate impasse, that is death, and no wisdom can overcome the sting of death. You realize that? No wisdom of this world can overcome the sting of death. He tells us that the wise man or the fool, any difference when he dies, verse 16 says, there is no difference. There's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dire the wise man as the fool. So he wants us to think and consider, how are we living our lives? What would you want your life to be? How would you want it to be lived? And so the one thought that we must bring home tonight is this concept that anything that is of real value must be eternal. And what is of value must be able to last. And he wants us to think and consider carefully the truth. He tells us at the conclusion of his book, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of men. In the original, the word duty is not there. It's added in, it put in the italics and added in rightly by the King James translator to help us to see what is the whole of men. What are we to do? What is it that God wants you to do when you live this life? Fear God and keep his commandments. You know, when you hear that, it must blow you out of proportion, isn't it? To think that, hey, you mean this is what life is being, how life is to be assessed? This is how the judge of all judges would assess our life at the end of it. He says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So he's telling us that there is an end to life, and he's telling us that there is a way to live. There is an end to life, and there is a way to live. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is all that God requires of you in this life. Very deep wisdom. What was Solomon's lament? He says in chapter 2, he says, after I've done all these things under the sun. Remember we said he enjoyed pleasure, he enjoyed entertainment, he enjoyed his orchards, his gardens, his building projects, the amassing of great wealth. And at the end of it, he says, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous. He says, it's misery. It is evil. It is distressing. He says, all is vanity. All is vain. All is empty. All is transient. All disappoints. It just cannot satisfy. And he used the very grievous words, you know. He says, vexation of spirit. And he said, it's frustrating and distressing effort. There is a story concerning a great man, Alexander the Great. He was the ruler of the Grecian Empire, the emperor of the Greek Empire. He was the military commander who was undefeated and the most successful throughout history. His empire stretched throughout Persia, the Persian Empire, and extended all the way to India. And at that time, he thought that it was the furthest place on earth. He was a military genius. And on his way home, after conquering many countries, rightly or wrongly, the phraseology of this story, there is a point to be made that I hope we would think and consider how we are living our lives. So on his way home, he came down with an illness, and at that moment when he was taken ill, he was still very young, 30 years of age or so, his captured territories, his powerful armies, his sharp swords, his wealth, all had no meaning to him, because he realized that death would soon arrive and he would be unable to return to his homeland. And so he said to his officers, I will leave this world, and I have three wishes. You need to carry out what I tell you. And so his generals, in tears, agreed. What was the first? He says, I would like to have my physician carry my coffin alone. And he says, after gasping for air, my second wish is to scatter gold, silver, and gems of all my treasure along the path to the tomb. And so, you know, it's going to be a long march. And he tells his generals to bring out all his goodies from his treasure house. And he says that as my funeral possession, you know, marches along, throw out all this silver, scatter the gold, the silver, and the gems along the path to the tomb when you ship my coffin to the grave. And after wrapping himself in a woolen blanket, he said, my last wish is to put my hands outside the coffin. Very interesting, isn't it? The coffin, two holes, the hands outside. Why did he ask for that? Rightly or wrongly, right? He has a message. There is a message to bring to us. And so it was asked to him, and there are three lessons that he wants to bring to us. He says, let my physician carry my coffin alone. Is to let people realize that a physician cannot really cure people's illness, especially when they face death. The physicians are powerless. He says, I hope people will learn to treasure their lives. You know, when you're at the end of the journey, when death comes knocking on the door, right, That's the end point. You know, the end point. And what is the second lesson? My second wish is to tell people not to be like me in pursuing wealth. He says, I spent my whole life pursuing wealth, and I was wasting my time, most of the time. And so he wants us to think and consider what we are doing with our lives. Then third, he says, I wish to let people understand that I came to this world in empty hands, and I will leave this world also in empty hands. And he closed his eyes after finished talking, stopped breathing. He passed on. As we read and look at the life of Solomon, at the life of Alexander the Great, you see how he came to a realization that he hated life, as it were, because he saw that he could not carry his achievements with him at his death. With all his wealth, with all his power, with all his might, he could not buy time. He could not buy life. And so he wants us to think and consider about life. And he says that if you could use his, he could use his earthly resources to buy life, he would spend every dime he has to prolong his life. But he was without choice when death knocks. And you know, human life, the Bible tells us, is 120 years. And scientists, up to now, do not have the wisdom to surpass 120 years. Somehow, the code is broken at that time. And the Bible tells us that, well, that is the limit that God set. Because of the curse, because of sin, that man has to die. It's a judgment from God. And so Solomon was clearly discouraged when he pursued to the end the logic of life under the sun. He says that he hated life. And what is the use of living this life when everything is so transient? So he tells us that we are to consider the value system. What is it that lasts? Thank God that Solomon was given heavenly wisdom to know that death does not end all. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so he tells us the realization, he tells us the reasoning, or the reality, the reasoning. And now he tells us to think about what we are to do with our lives. Verse 1a, the resolve. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, he tells us that indeed, at the end of life, what is there to remember? Well, he tells us that we are to think and consider to come back to our Maker, the one who makes us, the one who gives us life, also has the power to give us eternal life, to conquer the death in life through His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. All who receives Him as Lord and Savior would conquer death. And the Bible says that your death is but a sleep. The day would come when the Lord would give you a new life. And so this morning, one dear sister visited Ivy just 15, 20 minutes before she went home to be with the Lord. And she was there, and there were some tears coming out of her eyes. She opened her eyes, and the lady said to her, "Have peace, Ivy, have peace." And over this last few weeks, different people have spoken to her to confirm and reconfirm her faith in the Lord. And the assistant chaplain of the St. Luke's Hospital said, "You know, the last time when I came to her, she said, 'No need na. I'm sure. I'm sure I know where I'm going.'" She had that assurance in her heart that absent in the body is present with the Lord. And the Lord wants you to have that same full assurance also concerning life. And what should our aspirations be? Verse 1a tells us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth," meaning that when you still have life, when you still have strength, use your life profitably. I have a poem written by this man, Thomas H. Gill, to encourage your heart. "Lord, in the fullness of my might, I would for thee be strong, while runneth over each dear delight, to thee shall soar my song. I would not give the world my heart, and then profess thy love, would not feel my strength depart, and then thy service prove." He says that, you know, "I'm going to use my life wisely for you while I'm young, while I still have life. I want to serve you. I want to make my life count. I would not with swift wing zeal on the world's errands go, and labor up the heavenly hill with every weary feet slow." He says that, you know, when we do the things that count for treasures in heaven, we must be swift. You know, don't drag your feet to do good to someone. Those things done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would have eternal reward. He says, don't drag your feet, but be swift on the world's errands go. So he tells us that, hey, careful, what you're pursuing. "Oh, not for thee my weak desires, my poorer, baser part. Oh, not for thee my fading fires, the ashes of my heart." He says that, you know, life fire, and as time goes by, as we age, you find that, you know, much as you want to do, you find it tough. Your energy becomes less. Energy level languishes. And so he tells us, be careful, choose. Oh, choose me in my golden time, in my dear joys have part. For thee the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. This is a prayer, verse 1a. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That a new generation of Christians would re-evaluate their value system, whether it will stand the test of time, whether what you are doing would stand the test. You know, God's word tells you, and He wants you to live your life profitably, worthily. So, just to recap, remember now, the word there, the time factor is given, now, thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When life loses life. The reality, the reasoning, the resolve. May the Lord guide us and teach us that we may do the things that indeed would bring heavenly profit, heavenly reward. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for gathering us this night to think about life, how we ought to live our lives profitably, usefully, before life loses its strength and we sit to regret of a wasted life. O God, may thou help thy people as we come to the close of this year of grace 2015 to reflect upon how we have been spending our time living our life. And Lord, may thou help us to consider in the light of thy word, in the testimony of Solomon, how we are to live 2016. May thou grant to us heavenly wisdom that we may indeed hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. O Lord, may thou help us to understand thy will and help us to do it by thy grace. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.